honor to your name, adoration to your name, worship to your name, Lord, tonight. Blessed be your name. It's a great privilege to know you and to be related to you. We worship you in Jesus' precious name. Give Lord the praise and be seated. Just lift your right hand up in an attitude of worship. Welcome everyone here tonight from everywhere you have come. Reverend Pajo Bempa and your team of people all the way from Holy Hill Chapel in Accra, Ghana, we welcome you. You're welcome. Lift up your right hand and let us appreciate him.
When you are alone, I want it to be praised. So worthy to be praised, and I will give you praise. You alone are worthy to be praised, so worthy to be praised, and I will give you praise.
Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 9. After this manner, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. And give us this day our daily bread. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Speaking very briefly tonight on the subject, understanding and unraveling prayer. What it takes, understanding and unraveling prayer. Our objective is to practically demystify the act of prayer. The subject of prayer is a subject that is generally misunderstood by so many people today. What is prayer all about? When have I prayed? How do I know that I'm praying? You see, there are people who tell you, I don't know how to pray. I don't pray because I don't really know how to pray. In order to know what prayer is, it is first important to know what prayer is not. So, what is it that is not prayer? Number one, prayer is not a religious creed or formula to be recited or said. It's not a religious creed or formula to be recited or said, such that if you don't know how to recite the formula, then you can't pray. Or you don't know how to say the creed, then you can't pray. It's not. You hear people at times say that, I have said my prayers. It's not something to say. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 7, Jesus speaks about vain repetition. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So it is not a particular lineup of something to say. Now he's talking about vain repetition. It's not the same as praying for the same thing again and again. It's not the same as that. You see, you can pray for the same thing, use the same words. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the Bible said he prayed in the same words again and again. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about where it becomes more like a formula or a creed that you must learn how to recite. And if you cannot learn how to recite it, then you haven't prayed. Prayer is not such. Number two, prayer does not have to happen in a particular speech type or language. It's not compulsory for it to happen in a particular speech type, language, phraseology, or verbology. It doesn't have to happen. You don't need to have a particular speech type, a particular language type, a particular phrase, or a particular verb. I mean, verbology. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be so. In Psalm 3, verse 4, the Bible said, I cried to the Lord with my voice, my normal voice, my natural voice, the way I speak. And he heard me out of his holy hill with my voice. I didn't have to change the voice. I didn't have to sound in a certain way. I didn't have to even change the language before I am heard. It is with my voice I cried and he heard me. So you don't have to, prayer does not necessarily have to be prayed maybe in King James language English or maybe Elizabethan English in a certain way such that people can know. You see, thou God knowest that I am thy son and I have come before thy holy throne. Hear me, O God, hear this thy servant, that the world may know, O Jehovah, that thou alone at God and King over the whole of the universe, Jehovah El Shaddai, thou knowest thy servant. There are people who think that until they use that kind of language, they have not prayed. In fact, some people think that God is an Englishman, so you have to pray only in English. I can tell you, you can use your most local vernacular. You see, there are times where I shift into vernacular. What I'm saying, Lord, I want you to understand this, so let me speak mother tongue. Am I communicating at all? Is God speaking to somebody at all? I mean, as you can speak the rugged, broken, pidgin English. You know the worry type. If that is the best you hear and that is the best you can communicate in, you see, so that it can be easy for you, the simpler the better. You don't complicate it. You make it simple. So it doesn't have to be in a particular speech type or phrase type or in a particular language. It doesn't have to be. Number three, prayer is not just a platform for the expression of sentiments or emotion. It's not a platform for the expression of sentiments or emotion. It is not a place where you come and quarrel your heart out with God. It's not a platform where you come to complain or to murmur. There are people who think they are praying when they are murmuring. They are grumbling. They are complaining. God, am I the only one? God, why are you doing this to me? God, if you don't just kill me now. That kind of a thing. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 10, it said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And we are destroyed of the destroyer. You don't carry this kind of thing to the place of prayer. You don't carry this kind of thing to the place of prayer. It's not a place for the expression of sentiments or emotions. Cry, tears may flow at certain times of prayer, either in worship or in intercession and in any other situation. It may flow. Maybe flow naturally. But the truth of the matter is, nobody was ever heard because of tears. He didn't say, thy tears have made you whole. He always said, thy faith has made you whole. There are those who think, if I cry enough, God will change my story. That is the lie of the devil. You don't come to him on the basis of emotion. You come on the basis of revelation. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. You take words, Hosea chapter 13 and verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. So it is your the revelation you possess is more important than the emotion you present. Every time somebody was in tears, Jesus said, weep not, weep not, weep not. So be revelation loaded, be revelation loaded, be revelation loaded as you turn to the Lord. So prayer is not a place to be just be sentimental and emotional. It's a place to be revelational and realistic. He said, bring your strong reasons. He said, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Is that Isaiah chapter 43 and in verse 26? Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Come, present your reasons. Declare thou. Why do you want me to do this thing? That thou mayest be justified. That is prayer number three. It's not just a platform for the expression of sentiments or emotion. Your revelation at the place of prayer is more important than the sentiments. Number three, number four. Prayer is not just what to do in crisis or emergency situations. Prayer is not just what to do in crisis or emergency situations. It is not what you remember to do only when there is a crisis, only when there is a challenge. There are people who don't know what it means to pray until something is wrong. They don't know what it means to pray until there is a bad news. They don't know what it means to pray until they are threatened. It's not what to do in crisis. It's not just what to do in emergency. It is what you do for life. And I'm going to come to that shortly. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18, he said, praying whenever you have a challenge. Is that what he said there? He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Not pray because there is a challenge. Not pray because you were threatened. Not pray because a witch said something. Not pray because there is a new diagnosis. Pray without ceasing. Somebody's prayer life is changing today. If you are the one, you say louder, amen. Number five, prayer is not a responsibility to be delegated. It's not a responsibility to be delegated. Literally a non-delegable responsibility. I've heard people say, oh, I'm not a prayer type. My wife does my prayer for me. Some very lazy, highly irresponsible men. I am not a praying type. I'm not a church type. And they are proud to say such a useless, irresponsible statement. You hear what I'm saying here? In case you are among them looking at what I'm saying, that is the peak of masculinity in irresponsibility. If it's the peak of it, it's the peak of it. A man should be the priest of his house. You take the lead in the spirituality of your family. You take the lead, even if your wife, now Smith Wigglesworth's wife was the Christian before Smith Wigglesworth. When Smith Wigglesworth was still a drunkard, the woman was a Christian. To a point where the man will lock her out. And then she will lie. That is Mary Jane Polly Wigglesworth. She will sleep by the kitchen door. And then when the man opened the door in the morning, she will fall inside. And she will stand up and say, honey, good morning, sir. What would you have for breakfast? He locked her out last night. And she told him, you are my husband, but Jesus is my Lord. I will respect you, but I will obey him. And she went to church and returned back. And then suddenly God landed on Smith Wigglesworth and he became born again. And overtook the woman in fire, in passion, in every realm. He went ahead. That is what masculinity is all about. Masculinity is maturity. Masculinity is spirituality. Masculinity is responsibility. Masculinity is authority. Am I speaking to somebody here? Did you hear what I just said? You heard what I just said? Masculinity is maturity. Masculinity is responsibility. Masculinity is spirituality. Masculinity is authority. That is masculinity. Masculinity is not just the wearing of a dress type. There are many males, but few men. To be a male was because you were born. To be a man is another matter. If you are a male because they born you with a male gender. Alright? But to be a man is another matter. It's maturity, responsibility, spirituality, authority. Not authority to beat your wife, but authority to defend your wife and defend your family against every onslaught of the devil. Not authority to beat your wife. It's not the kind of authority you are coming, everybody is running and taking cover. It's the kind of authority you are coming, you are running and say, Daddy has returned. Anybody try me now, look for my trouble now. Hallelujah. So it's very, very, so it's not please take your seat, it's not a responsibility to delegate. Right? Some people say, my mother, I had a very praying mother, powerful, woke us up in the morning by 5 a.m. and continued to pray for us all through our lives. But you cannot delegate and say, my mother is doing my prayer for me. Otherwise, you will be shocked because your mother won't live forever. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So it's not a responsibility to delegate. Hear me. It is possible for people to agree with you in prayer. Yes, agreement in prayer is a possibility. Somebody is praying along with you, your mother, your father, your wife. That is a possibility. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, he speaks and he said that, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. That is possible. People can pray along with you. People can agree with you in prayer. People can pray on the behalf of you while you pray for yourself. But the point of the matter is, the burden of your prayer life is entirely your responsibility. The burden, the burden of your prayer life, the burden of your spirituality is entirely your responsibility. People joining forces with you will only help what you are already forward in doing, but nobody can do it for you. And the point of the matter is, no matter how much anybody loves you, nobody can pray for you like yourself. Hallelujah. Having seen all of that, all that prayer is not, the meaning of all this is then, it is time to wake up and pray. Now, what is prayer? What then is prayer? Number one, we looked at three of them last Sunday, and for the sake of repetition that brings retention, I'm going to go through them because we looked at one per service. So I'll look at the three together right now. Number one, prayer is the flow of communication that originates from the relationship between God and man. Is the flow of communication. The flow of communication that originates from the relationship between God and man. Is that communication flow. Like we said in the first service on Sunday, every time there is a relationship, there is a flow of communication. Is the flow of communication that originates from the relationship between God and man. So it's a two-way flow. At the place of prayer, you speak and God speaks to you as well. It's the flow of communication. I said it is the servicing of the relationship between God and man. Like you take your car to service. It is prayer that services relationship. It services the relationship between God and man. It lubricates the relationship between God and man. And like we said that Sunday, the more functional the relationship, the more vibrant the communication. If the relationship is functional, the communication is vibrant. The communication is buoyant. There is an easy way to know whether the relationship of a man with God is working, whether somebody is in good terms with God. You know it by the flow of prayer. The prayer flows just like water. Am I communicating? You know that a man and the other man are not in good terms by the way they greet each other. Oh, how are you? Bye. Hello, bro. Hi, the president. God bless you. See you later. But oh, praise God. It's a long time. How's everything? Wow. How's your family? Everything okay? I miss you. And you are talking. That relationship is buoyant. But where you have a person that even a man and his wife, when the relationship is broken down, communication is scanty. When two friends' relationship is broken down, communication is scanty. You can lie about your relationship with God, but your prayer life is an acid test. You can make anybody feel that your relationship with God is in order, but it is in your prayer life that people will know whether there is a relationship with God. That is why sinners can't pray, because there is no relationship. They are confused during prayer time. There is nothing comes out of their mouth because they don't know what to say, because prayer is anchored on relationship. Number two, we said that prayer is the enforcement of the will, plan, and purpose of God in the earth as it is in heaven. It is the enforcement of the will, the plan, the purpose of God in the earth as it is in heaven. The enforcement. At the place of prayer, a person is enforcing the will of God, enforcing the plan of God, enforcing the purpose of God in the earth as it is in heaven. Enforcing the will of God in the earth. Enforcing the purpose of God in the earth. Enforcing the plan of God in the earth as it is in heaven. At the place of prayer, we are laying hold. Prayer is laying hold on God to ensure that what he wants in the earth is what happens. When a person comes before God and is laying hold on God such that what God wants is what happens. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is prayer. There is something the Holy Ghost showed me many, many years ago, and I have said it over and over and over again. And that is a very simple statement. The will of God is answered prayer that is waiting to be prayed. The will of God is prayer that has already been answered, waiting for someone to pray it. That is, God is saying, this is what I want done. I want Nigeria to experience revival. That revival that God wants is already history, written in advance. That revival that God says I want for Nigeria is already answered prayer that he is waiting for someone to pray. You know why it was easy for Elijah to close the heaven? Because it was written document that if the people don't worship God and they follow other gods, their heaven will be brass, iron, earth will be dust, no rain. So that was already prayer answered for someone to pray. So when Israel was following other gods, all that Elijah needed to do was to go before God and say, Lord, you said that if the people worship other gods, they are not entitled to rain. Why is rain still falling? Why is rain still falling? Why is rain still falling? Have you changed? Are you a God who say what you don't mean? Do you lie? And God said, no, I can't just enforce it like that from heaven. I partner with people on the earth to establish my will on the earth. I was looking for somebody to come and tell me what you are saying now. And as you have told me now, the rain has stopped. Hey! If only you can locate the will of God, prayer struggle is over. Your struggle at the place of prayer ends where the will of God is known. Answered prayer begins where the will of God is known. And faith also begins where the will of God is known. Am I communicating at all? So the deeper your understanding of the will of God for your life, the stronger your prayer life. The deeper your understanding of the will of God for your life, the deeper your understanding of the plan of God, of the purpose of God for your city, for your nation, the stronger your prayer life. That is why we stand here and declare with audacity what should happen in our nation and what should be. And people are afraid and some are wondering. But it's a matter of the will of God. This is what we know. Somebody say a louder amen. We get to know the will of God in the spirit, by the spirit. And we got to know the will of God from his word. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. You know, I told you some time ago, I was in a dream one night, a night vision, let's say, and I got surrounded with some people with all manner of dangerous weapons, and they wanted to rush at me, to attack me. And suddenly, I saw a man standing beside me and say, "Give me space." And then I went aside. And then this man lifted his hand once, and I think again another one. Everybody was flat on the floor. And I looked at him and I said, "Excuse me, sir, who are you?" And he said to me, "I am the angel sent to fight your battles." Listen to me. From that day till eternity, if you dream that some people are planning to attack me, it's a waste of dream. Amen. It's a total. Somebody came and shared with me a revelation. Say, the kingdom of darkness is very tensed up. They are very, very agitated. I said, if they are not agitated, I will be surprised. If they are not tensed up, I will be amazed. It means my life is inconsequential. It means I am not to be feared. It means I don't matter. And if I don't matter, I can't occupy space. Hey! Somebody stand on your feet and give the king a shout of victory. A loud shout of victory. A loud shout of victory. Hey! I see things in the word of God and I see things in the realm of the spirit that makes me convinced I can't be cut short just like that. Impossible. So I stand at the place of prayer. I decree with audacity and authority, speaking from the vantage position of inside information. Look at the neighbor, say vantage position of inside information. Hey! Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. So, the truth of the matter is, the deeper your understanding of his will, if we pray in accordance with his will, 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14, he hears us. The deeper your understanding, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We have the petitions. The deeper your understanding of the will, the stronger the source of your prayer. Is somebody hearing anything? Say aloud, amen. That's why it is not a place for sentiments. It's a place for reality. It's a place for revelation. It's a place to produce something substantial. It's a place to talk sense. Am I communicating? That is prayer number two. Number three, prayer is the avenue of access into the resources of God by man. The avenue of access into the resources of God by man. The avenue by which man accesses the resources of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on it as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What is available with God is made accessible to man at the altar of prayer. It's available with God, is made accessible for man at the altar of prayer. Do you understand that? So, you remember the ancient song? I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire. My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his millionaire. I'm a millionaire. I'm a happy, happy, happy millionaire. You remember the song? My father is rich in houses and lands, and I'm his heir. Prayer is very buoyant if you understand your inheritance. It's buoyant if you understand what is yours in God. You see, the deeper your understanding of your inheritance, the stronger your prayer life. So at the place of prayer, you are not begging. You are not necessarily pleading. You are presenting petitions, making requests, and in some cases, placing demands in the name of Jesus and getting results. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say the loud most amen. Even in the process of fasting, all these things must be in place. Some people think, if I suffer myself very well, God will hear me. If it was left for suffering, some people would have been saying, do you know in the Philippines, I watched something, a presentation by T.L. Osborne. It's amazing what those people used to pass through. I think they still do. They call it flagellation. They pass through. Somebody carries a whip with metals and other things. I will be whipping himself until their backs are bleeding, lacerated. They are suffering themselves for God. Their God. If they suffer enough, they will be pardoned their sins, and so on and so forth. No, God has not called anybody. I know of someone who fasted until he died. God didn't call anybody fast and die like that. Jesus died for all of us. Any other death you die is a waste of death. Are you following what I'm saying now? I mean, except of course, maybe in the situations of persecution like in the early church and so on. But to say, let me just kill myself for God, that was a total waste. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a total waste. So it is important to know that the stronger your understanding of what is yours in God, the faster your prayers. Now let's go to point number 4. What is prayer all about? Prayer is the spiritual breath of the child of God. The spiritual, call it spiritual life breath of the child of God. The spiritual life breath of the child of God. The spiritual life breath of the child of God. What the physical air is to the physical man is what prayer is to the spiritual man. You know, prayer and the word will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Prayer and the word is like food and air. The word of God is the equivalent of food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. As the word of God is the equivalent of food and water, of course, prayer is the equivalent of air. When he said pray without ceasing, the only thing human beings do without stopping is breathing. You breathe in oxygen. And of course, the heart pumps without stopping. And you know that the purpose of the heart is to transport around the body the oxygen that you took in. So it's all the same breathing process. So he's saying, pray like you breathe. How is that possible? Well, before I answer that, how is that possible? Prayerlessness is a sign of spiritual lifelessness. When a person is spiritually lifeless, he becomes prayerless. She becomes prayerless. And like I said earlier on, that is why unbelievers and unsaved people don't pray and they can't pray. Because they are spiritually lifeless. How do I pray without ceasing? You know that prayer is not just asking God for things. Prayer has got to do with your praise, got to do with your worship, got to do with your appreciation. When you pray, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name," that is prayer too. It has got to do with the thought pattern, your what occupies your heart. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we are able to ask or imagine or think. So, in your thinking you are praying. In your talking you are praying. In your praising you are praying. In your worshiping you are praying. In your talking to God you are praying. In Isaiah chapter 65 from verse 24, you say, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. That is, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." That is when it is still in their heart. So how do I pray without ceasing? My heart, my talk, my thought, everything is tuned in God's direction. Everything continually, 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 continually. What Charles Diffin called the unutterable gushings of my heart. Your heart is in a permanent state of desire. A permanent state of desire for more of God. A permanent state of desire for the will of God. A permanent state of desire for the purpose of God for your life. And as frequently as it can come out of your mouth, "Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To you be all the praise. To you be all the honor. Thank you for your faithfulness." It is impossible for the devil to... I was going to preach somewhere this afternoon to a minister's conference. And while I was in the car, my prayer was flowing. My prayer was just flowing. I remembered something that needed to be tackled. You see, at times you want to wait until you go to the closet before you talk to God. Talk to God in the car. Talk to God in the kitchen. Talk to God in the bathroom. Talk to God on the white throne. You know the white throne in the... How many of you know the white throne? I know you visit the white throne. Some of you behave as if you don't visit there. The way you look in the daytime, walking psychedelically, nobody will ever believe you visit such a place. Do you know what I'm saying? There are people, when you look at them, you don't think they ever attend toilet. They don't attend. If there is a real burden, a real passion, you don't need to wait. Every place is appropriate to talk to God. There may be the time when you need to separate yourself for the sake of concentration. But in the timing, Nehemiah was carrying the cup of the king. He was praying right in the palace. Am I communicating at all? He was praying. When I was a medical student, medical school was very, very intense. Very, 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 very intense. I remember one time after I had traveled, I was the president of the Medical Students Fellowship, and I had traveled all across the country preaching from UNILAG to University of Ibadan to University of Ilorin, all the way to University of Maiduguri, all the way to University of Ife, all the way to University of Port Harcourt, ABU Zaria, traveled everywhere from campus to campus. And then I arrived school, only to realize that I have massive exams to write in the next 48 hours. Pathology, pharmacology. These courses, you cover them for 2 years. You don't write any exam until after 2 years. And now it is time to write the exam. Each of those courses, you do BSc on each of them. That is, pathology alone has 4 courses you can do a full-fledged BSc on. That is hematology, that is microbiology, that is chemical pathology, that is histopathology, morbid anatomy. Each of them is big and massive enough, and you read all of it as if you are reading for the degree of each of them. And then you now sit to write the exam all at once. Now, before you talk of pharmacology, now, and I looked, I said, Lord, you help me today. Now, by the time I started reading in the evening, when I lifted up my head again, the sun was already coming through the window. But do you know what I did in those days? If I read for 7 hours, I have also prayed for 7 hours. Oh, yes. I didn't want to cheat myself. Somebody asked me, how do you do it? I say, my spirit pray it, my brain read it. I mean, it wasn't possible for me to say I spent 5 hours and the 5 hours was only reading. It wasn't possible. If I read for 5 hours, I also prayed for 5 hours. If I read for 9 hours, I also prayed for 9 hours. And so it was fire on the mountain. It was what John Gillick said, I run as I pray, I pray as I run. Prayer is involved in everything, and everything is involved in prayer. I don't have the time to wait for extra time to do the prayer. I do it on the go. Prayer on the go. Prayer on the go. Prayer on the go. You know, pray as you go. Prayer as you go. Pray 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 as you go. My brother was very concerned at one point because my mouth was permanently moving. Any day you saw me. I went to preach somewhere and they brought food and I was doing like that. I was eating and still praying. They said, sorry, is the pepper too much? Oh, sorry, man of God, is the pepper too much in the food? And this is not pepper, this is higher pepper. I was flying to London sometime, and I was praying like that inside the vehicle, inside the aircraft. The person seated was looking like that. I said, I need to devise a way of handling this thing so that it doesn't look somehow. So I put my thumb inside, put my thumb by the side of my mouth so that you are not now seeing the movement. And then I continued the prayer. If the flight was 5 hours, I prayed for 5 hours. I couldn't waste the time. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So that is it. And I'm not saying you must function like that, because it may be a challenge for you. Your home may be a challenge. It may be a challenge for you at home, or challenge with your wife, or challenge with your children, or challenge with your boss in the office especially. And your colleague in the office especially. It may be, but there is a way you can devise and just ensure that you express yourself to God as frequently as possible. I know of God's servant, Bishop David Erebo. Hallelujah, he's alive. God is faithful. Amen. Glory to God. That continues to flow from his mouth for as long as you are around him. For as long as you are. Hallelujah. Mike Murdoch sat with him in the car one day, and they went from, I think, Raji about to Canaanland or something. And the man said he counted, was this 100 and something times? When you said, praise the Lord, he's alive. God is faithful. You know, Mike Murdoch is such a man. He was calculating the number of times. If you say it once, you write it down. You say, I counted. He said, no wonder. No wonder what happens around you. One day I was going to grant an interview at a television station. One of our pastors entered the car with me. And by the time he was in that car, by the time we went and came back, he told me, no wonder what happens around you. He said the climate in the car was so thick with divine presence. And then what he felt and what he heard while we were going, he said, no wonder. Pray. without ceasing. Let the climate around you communicate to God. Let your thoughts be in communication. Let your voice be in communication. Let your prayer be communication. Let your praise communicate with God. And as frequently as you remember to say something to God, say it to Him. You heard what I just said? As frequently as you remember to say something to God, say it to Him. Lord, help me to live for you. Lord, help me to do your will. Lord, help me not to fail you. Lord, thank you for being so faithful. Lord, I'm not going to wait until I reach home to say I'm grateful. I will say it right on this road now. As frequently as you remember to say something to God, say it to Him. Don't delay it. Say it to Him where you are. Say it to Him within the climate you are in. Say it to Him. Finally, prayer is the confession. Please take your seat. It's a confession of personal helplessness and insufficiency without God. Personal helplessness and insufficiency without God. At the place of prayer, you are letting God know that you are helpless, and you are letting Him know that you are insufficient without Him. A confession of personal helplessness and insufficiency without God. It is the recognition of the sovereignty of God. The recognition of the all-sufficiency and almightiness of God. You are all I want. You are all I want. Jesus, you are all I want. You satisfy my needs, supply. My Jesus, you are all I want. Insufficiency, helplessness, and what is prayerlessness? Is a declaration of independence from God. God, this is to confirm to you that I can survive without you. I don't need to pray before I succeed. I don't need to pray before I survive. It's a declaration of independence. That is why if you go to places around the world where they think there is no God, and you say, I want to pray, they say, what is that? You want to pray to who? Have you seen Him before? It's a declaration. That was why the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We come to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have twofold counsel tonight, very, very quickly. And that is, one, receive the grace to operate and function with fervency and vibrancy of the Spirit. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace to function, to operate a functional prayer life with fervency . Somebody say a loud amen. A louder amen. A louder amen. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. He said, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. There is the spirit of grace. You see, there are those who pray effortlessly. There is grace. Every spiritual exercise is fueled by grace. Anything, whether it is in soul winning, and it is in giving, and it is in praying, and it is in fasting, there is grace that makes it easy. You see, grace is like grease for ease. When you are graced by God, you have been greased by God for ease. It makes things, you do things easy with grace. So Lord, fresh baptism of grace to pray like I should, I receive. And in Romans chapter 12 verse 11, he said, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. You receive grace for ease. And second, you pray. You then pray without ceasing. Somebody said, pray without ceasing. You can pray without ceasing. One day, while I was in the university, I came home and I taught the young men at that time what I called stretching out in prayer. Stretching out in prayer. Stretching out. And that was what happened in the book of Acts chapter 12, I think verse 5. When Peter was kept in prison, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing. The Hebrew, the Greek word in that without ceasing, prayer was made stretched outedly. Stretched outedly. Stretched outedly. Prayer was stretched out. There was a stretching in prayer. And I said to the people at that time, I was very, very, very rugged then. I think I'm still very rugged. But that was a very, very, very youthful ruggedness. Very rugged. And I said, you know what it means to stretch in prayer? It means after you have prayed for 3 hours, forget that you were praying and start again. After you have prayed for 5 hours, forget that you were praying before and start again. And in case you don't know how to do that, just blast in tongues. By the time one of those young guys finished the exercise, he has done 21 hours on one spot. And he didn't believe like he had started praying yet. Till today, that boy has not recovered. Am I communicating at all? It is possible. I said, after you have prayed for that length of time, you see, people take holiday from work to go for leisure. You can take holiday to pray. You can take break for spiritual exercise. You can take excuse from the office 1 week casually, and you are not using it casually. You are using it intensively. By the time you return back to work, every devil in the office will know that they have seen fire. Stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet and give him the praise, and give him the praise, and give him the praise. That is the kind of prayer you pray, and then you open the door, madman see you and starts running. Yes, that's the kind of prayer you pray. You know, about at least 4 to 5 times in my life, one of those times was before I stepped into full-time ministry at a place called Terminus Market in Jos, Plateau State. Around the Rex Cinema there, opposite the Good News, Equa Good News Church. I was walking by that road there, and a madman, that is the kind of madman that has the twisted mad head hair. That is mad, mad, mad. Mad, madam, maddest. This man walked from wherever his madness came. He must have seen fire passing. And he came to where I stood and knelt down and lifted his 2 hands. Right in front. Nobody prayed for him. Nobody called him. He brought himself because he saw fire passing. Exactly the same scenario happened in Saminaka Market between Jos and Kaduna. Motor park. Madman. Between Lokoja and Abuja, I was already a pastor in ministry at Abaji. Filling station. Madman ran. Went on his knees. There is another one, Yangojo, another place after Abaji. It happened again. Now, the one that happened in Okene was went for a program, and my driver took the car to the filling station to fuel. Madman came in front of the car, went on his knees. He saw that this car came with something. This car carried something. And the driver came back to the hotel and said, "Sir, I've never seen this kind of thing before." He said, "Madman left where he was, came in front of this car, knelt down and lifted his hand." Hola? Una? Fire, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm telling you, something is happening to you today. In this month of prayer, which is the month of fire, something is changing around your life. All the forces that tormented you, that forced food into your mouth in the night, they shall be roasted this month. The ones that came to molest you and call themselves spirit husband, they shall be roasted this month. The ones that are killing people before their time in your family, they shall be roasted this month. Lift up your hands and begin to pray in the spirit. I need some people at the back of my... In the spirit, in the spirit, in the spirit. Lika para teko zagala. Open your mouth and pray.
Shabada gado kopele radababala.
Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray.
Lika tora kazabana tebele tekebebelia. Ela koda badoga jagabili te ragadababala ragadababado. Ishata galadabara sada kalataya. Ilya sada korabila.
A functional prayer life with fervency and vibrancy. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your hands and say after me, say, Father.
Father.
I receive the grace.
I receive the grace
to pray without ceasing.
To pray without ceasing.
Father,
Father,
I receive
a baptism
of the Spirit
of grace
and supplication.
I receive
that baptism
of the Spirit
of grace
and supplication.
I receive it now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. I receive the baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. I receive the baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. I receive the baptism of the Spirit of grace. Let the very Let the baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism of the Spirit of grace and supplication. The baptism. Let us settle the
In the name of Jesus.
Father, give me a deeper understanding of your will. A deeper understanding of my inheritance is in you. I receive a deeper understanding, a deeper, deeper understanding of your will for my life, of your will for my generation, a clearer, deeper understanding of my inheritance in you. Lift your voice and your hands and say, Father,
I receive
a deeper understanding
of your will
for my life,
a deeper understanding
of my inheritance
in you,
my inheritance
in the land of the living.
I receive a deeper understanding. In the name of Jesus. When the will of God is enforced, the agenda of the enemy is deleted. Father, frustrate every agenda of the enemy regarding my life, regarding my family, regarding the church, the body of Christ, regarding the church dynamics, regarding the nation, Nigeria, our nation, whatever be your country. Father, frustrate the agenda of the enemy today. Lift your voice and say, Father, I am
that you frustrate the agenda
of the wicked
for my life,
for my family,
for my destiny,
for the church,
for dynamic,
every agenda
of the enemy,
for my nation,
for Nigeria,
in this season.
Father,
I declare,
we decree
frustration,
frustration.
Open your mouth and pray.
Frustrate the agenda
of the enemy.
Repent in my life.
Frustrate.
Precious name. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. A mantle is about to drop. Something is about to drop that will break something of your life. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Thank you.
gonna wait on you. We wait on you, for fire, Lord. For fire, Lord.
Lift your hands everywhere you are, Mashaka. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. 1 minute more, Mahashato. Kadagayagada. Put your hands high. At a count of five, you place your hand on your head, scream grace. And then a second count of five, you scream fire at the top of your voice. There will be diverse encounters and diverse impartations and diverse releases, and yokes will be broken and chains will be broken. And the fire of the Lord will be released, and whatever does not pertain to your life shall be eliminated. Lift your hands and your voice at the count of five. Father, let the grace, the spirit of grace and supplication, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3, 4, and five. Grace! An encounter, a fire encounter.
Some of you may not be able to sleep well tonight because of praying and praying and praying endlessly. Lift your hands. Father, let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Give the man a fire encounter. Give the woman a fire encounter. Give the boy a fire encounter. Give somebody a fire encounter. And let it be right now. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. When we reach up to five, you place your hand on your head and scream the fire at the top of your voice. Father, give them a fire encounter. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, 4, and five. Yes. Red, Lift your hands and give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the worship. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Blessed be your name. Worship to your name.
Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fall on me. Fire, 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 fire.
Like on the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost. Everyone here tonight, you have an encounter of fire. Or rather, God gave you an encounter, a healing, a physical healing, or a deliverance tonight. Yesterday, we were not talking about blindness before somebody was healed in the first praise, before even the preaching and the prayer started on the healing service. So, something happened to you already. It may not be anything we have mentioned, but something happened to you already, a healing, a deliverance. Something took place in your life. Step forward and let us know what happened, and then we'll take it further. Fire, fire, fire,
fire, fire, fire, fire, fire, follow me.
Fire, 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 follow me. Like on the day of Pentecost. Take your seat.